It's my great privilege to introduce our next speaker, David Bolt. My first contact with him was, it seems like 100 years ago now, but it was probably about a year or so ago, when this lawyer rings me up and says, I've written something up about the hearing that's been going on with the importation of honey, about the risk assessments and the submission and everything. Do you mind if I send it through to you? And I get quite a lot of lawyers for different reasons sending me stuff. At that point, I normally cringe about sending stuff through that looks pretty awful. And then you've got to think, well, do I just try to make some changes? Do I try to rewrite it, or do I just pretend I never received it? So facing it that way, I got some stuff through and I looked at it and thought, damn, this guy's done a better job than I have, than I could have done. He had summarised everything absolutely perfectly, as though he'd been working as a honeybee pathologist for the last 25 years. So from that moment on, I was enormously impressed. And I think since then, we must have swapped a million emails and phone calls and faxes and courier packages. And today's the first time I've actually got to meet him, which I've been quite thrilled to do. And I guess in the way of introduction, probably the reason that you can't go out and buy Australian honey on the shelves at the moment is because of what David's managed to do through the courts and the government. So, on to David.
Thank you, Mark, and it is indeed a pleasure to meet you for the first time today. In fact, it's been 3 years since this saga began in the middle of 2006. I'm sure you can remember when you heard for the first time that Matt had decided in its infinite wisdom that Australian honey and honeybee products could in fact be imported into New Zealand. MAF had decided that these products, which it had always regarded as highly hazardous, and indeed had, as recently as 2002 had reviewed and had said the risk of in particular European fowl brood coming into New Zealand is too great, and we cannot allow therefore Australian bee products into New Zealand. Within 4 years of that, they had done a complete 180, and they had decided on exactly the same evidence that Australian bee products were now just the safest things that anyone could ever possibly think of, and that no harm would come to us if we allowed Australian honey to come in. They dismissed their previously grave concerns about European fowl brood by deciding that if European fowl brood came from eastern Australia, then the heat treatment regime that is similar, although they would say more strict, than it already exists with exports of honey from eastern Australia to western Australia would keep us safe also in New Zealand from European fowl brood. In other words, if the honey is heated to a particular level, they claim that that would kill 999,999 M. pluton spores out of every million, and we could therefore rest easy that there was no chance of European fowl brood coming in. For Western Australian honey, they said, well, Western Australia doesn't have European fowl brood, therefore there is no reason in the world that we cannot import Western Australian honey. This was, as I said, only 4 years after they'd said Western Australian honey poses a very high and unacceptable risk for New Zealand, because Australia's internal border controls are not as good as New Zealand's border controls. It's an organism that takes a long time to detect, and it would be exported to New Zealand before it was even detected in Western Australia if there was an incursion. They conveniently, in their 2006 risk analysis, completely forgot about that finding that they had made 2 years earlier. They never mentioned it. They just said, because European fowl brood is not present in the West, Western Australian honey is safe. So in the middle of 2006, I was contacted. It was actually Russell Berry who first had the idea of wondering whether there was a legal basis on which we could challenge Australian bee product importations. And he had a long list of concerns, but in the end, it boiled down, I think, in his mind to this just can't be right. It cannot be right that the New Zealand government is going to allow into our country something that we all know isn't safe. and is going to potentially have a crippling impact on an industry that is already under stress. So he sent me the papers. I spoke to MAF and asked for everything that they had on Australian bee products. And as you can imagine, the resulting avalanche of paper was enormous. But I then took a little while to go through it to see if there was anything that might work by way of a legal challenge. And as it turned out, there was a good argument. And it came from the organism known as Pinobacillus alveii, P-alveii, which is another bacterium which is present in honey in eastern Australia, and which we don't have here in New Zealand. MAF had examined this organism. It had done so, incidentally, a few years after Mark had looked at the very same organism and said, look, I think we should be concerned about this this organism as well. I think it could well be pathogenic to bees. I also think it could cause other harm to the New Zealand environment. MAF didn't like that advice, so decided to rewrite that part of the risk analysis itself. MAF, with the wave of a hand, said, look, this organism, P. alveii, is harmless. It's what they call a sacrifice. It doesn't kill bees. It eats the dead larvae that have been killed by something else. They say it operates in conjunction with European foulbrood. As long as we don't have European foulbrood in this country, P. alveii is harmless. It can't come in. If it does come in, it won't do any harm. So we can be perfectly confident P. alveii is safe. P. alveii, incidentally, is not susceptible to heat treatment. Heat treatment won't kill it. So what that meant was, if we had imports of honey from Australia, this organism, which lives in Australian honey, would undoubtedly come into New Zealand. And MAF itself was forced to concede that this was an absolute certainty. The moment Australian honey came into New Zealand, this organism, P. alveii, would be coming in. Now, the legal challenge was based around whose job it was to decide that this new organism, this bacteria, P. alveii, was safe to enter New Zealand. And our case was, well, we have this act in New Zealand called the Hazardous Substances and New Organisms Act. And the purpose of that act is to stop new organisms coming into New Zealand unless they have been properly investigated by IRMA, the Environmental Risk Management Authority. And IRMA is independent of MAF, it's independent of everybody, and its sole focus is to examine an organism with the New Zealand environment in mind, and to draw conclusions about whether this organism actually would be safe if it was introduced. And so, to cut a long story short, because some of you will have heard the presentation I gave at the conference last year, we brought judicial review proceedings in the High Court designed to stop Australian honey imports. First of all, we obtained an interim order or an interim injunction to halt imports while our wider challenge was brought. That was successful. That happened just at the end of 2006. And then in early 2007, we went into the High Court and we made our main argument, which was, look, the whole point we have, the whole point of this organisation called IRMA is to examine new organisms to decide whether they can safely be brought into New Zealand or not. MAF can't just decide that something is safe. MAF, which of course has all kinds of other interests that it's trying to accommodate, it can't just decide this organism is safe and make a decision that effectively will allow it to come into New Zealand. It needs to be referred to IRMA. And we went to the High Court, and having very easily obtained the interim injunction, we were confident, I was confident, which I usually am not going into court, and the reason that it is good to be cautious and not get ahead of yourself became very apparent within a very short time. We got a terrible hearing from the High Court judge who was it completely changed his mind between the interim order hearing and this hearing. And he, in the end, just decided it would be far too disruptive to the world at large if all of these new organisms had to be referred off to Irma, and that obviously, pragmatically, MAF should be able to make decisions. Where the organism, and this was the distinction they drew, where the organism was a hitchhiker. In other words, if you wanted to bring PLVI into New Zealand to study it, or to release it into the environment because you thought it might be a good bioinsecticide, which incidentally it had been trialled as in other parts of the world, if you wanted to bring it in, then you had to take it to Irma for an assessment. Whereas if you wanted to bring in Australian honey that just happened to contain this organism, then MAF could make that decision itself without referring it to Irma at all. And the High Court judge said, yes, this is a perfectly fair distinction. Irma is there for intentional importations. MAF can make decisions on incidental importations. And much as I stood there in court and said, but, Your Honour, what's the difference in terms of the impact it's going to have on our environment? If it's a bad organism, it's going to harm us just as badly if it came in a test tube or in a pot of honey. He didn't want to know, and we got fairly badly. But we didn't give up, and within a couple of weeks, I filed an appeal in the Court of Appeal, and as a further blessing, the same judge had been willing to extend the interim injunction until the time of the appeal, and so that meant that there was going to be no Australian honey coming in the meantime. So in July of 2007, we were back, this time in the Court of Appeal, and it couldn't have been more different. The judges saw the point, thought that there could be nothing more absurd than thinking that there was a distinction to be drawn based on how a potentially harmful organism comes in. Surely, they said, what is important is what the organism is and what harm it's going to do. And so in December of 2007, they issued a judgment overturning the High Court's decision and quashing MAF's import health standard, quashing MAF's decision to allow Australian honey and other bee products to come into New Zealand until such time as MAF had sent this organism PLVI off to Irma and Irma had declared it safe. Something, by the way, which we had plenty of expert evidence, much of it produced by Mark, something which would probably never happen because, in fact, PLVI is not this harmless little saprophyte that MAF was making it out to be, because I say it's actually been trialled in other parts of the world as a bioinsecticide. It's harmful to other organisms, it's potentially harmful to bees. So we were feeling pretty good for about another 2 weeks after this Court of Appeals decision. We'd won, and the order had been, the import health standard had been quashed, and we were looking forward to no Australian honey imports. Then, in early 2008, the government announced that it was horrified by the decision of the Court of Appeal, that it was going to pose a severe restriction on New Zealand's ability to trade internationally, because how can we ever be sure, they said, that particular importations of anything don't contain harmful organisms? And this is going to cause severe damage, they said, to a trading nation such as New Zealand, where we rely on free flows of people and goods across our borders, and we simply can't demand that everything that comes into our country be sterilised. And much as I tried to talk to whoever would listen and say that's not what the Court of Appeal's decision means at all, MAF is deliberately misconstruing the effect of this decision. All it means is if you know that a particular organism is going to come in with a particular import, if you know that, then you need to refer the organism off. As much as I said that, and others, until they were blue in the face, said that no one in government would listen, and legislation was introduced. They gave us an incredibly short time for a select committee. In spite of the fact that they gave only a week for select committee submissions, there were 50 organisations, including Federated Farmers, including Fonterra, including including numerous environmental organisations and a great many primary producers, all filed submissions saying this is a bad bill and it should not pass. In spite of all of that, the bill did pass, and it passed very fast. It was only about 2.5 months elapsed between the introduction of this bill to it going through all of its stages of Parliament. Not only that, there was very little political support for us. The only parties in the House that were interested were the Greens and the Maori Party. Everybody else voted for this legislation. We had the fruitless experience of seeking to lobby various politicians of various stripes. I at least kind of respected the Labour people that we spoke to, because they didn't even pretend to be interested or to listen. The national ones were like, oh, that's terrible, oh, that's awful, yes, I can see why you're so upset, oh, yes, well, we're definitely going to have to look into this, yes, oh, that seems dreadful, and then get up at Parliament and say, I'm pleased to rise in support of this legislation. So, anyway, it was a near unanimous house. This is like a pendulum, you see. It's been swinging back and forth for the last 3 years. I guess it was at its furthest and bleakest point from our perspective, first when we lost in the High Court, and again when they passed the legislation. But there was at least enough residual concern about the injustice that was being visited upon us as an industry, having won in court, that they introduced very late in the piece provision for a so-called independent panel of experts to be assembled and to convene and to examine the scientific concerns that underpin the National Beekeepers Association's concern about Australian bee products. So this little bone was thrown to us just at the end of the legislative process, and in the meantime, the law said Australian honey importations are still out. So there could not be any further importations or any importations of Australian honey until this panel had reported. So we spent the rest of last year firstly haggling about the terms of reference for this independent panel. NAF originally only wanted it to have a look at PLBI because they were confident that our concerns there they could answer. They also obviously said, well, we'll have a look at European foul brood. Grudgingly, they said we'll include Nazema Serrana in the consideration, but that's it. I said, well, what about Israeli acute paralysis virus, which is a newly emerged pathogen and which is now the prime suspect in colony collapse disorder in the States, which is known to be present in Australia. They initially refused, but in the end, after threatening to sue them again, they caved in, and we then got these terms of reference, which posed a series of scientific questions for this panel's opinion. And so then the next task was the selection of the panel. And NAF sent to me this list of people who they were considering. And I ran it past Mark. Mark, of course, knows a lot of these international scientists who they were proposing to appoint. Now, Mark said to me, these top three guys on this list are fantastic. They are possibly, you know, among the very best and highly regarded bee scientists in the world, and I can also tell you they will hold NAF to a very high standard with its explanations of all these things. So I, perhaps a bit too enthusiastically, got back to NAF and said, we think these guys are great. In fact, if we could have all three of them on the panel, that would be wonderful. To which NAF immediately went, oh, shit. These guys want them, there must be something wrong with them. So anyway, we wound up with a panel that consists of one bee scientist. He is a fellow whose name is Dr. Jay Evans. He's an American. He is, in fact, at the forefront of research into the relationship between Israeli acute paralysis virus and colony collapse disorder in America. So he's certainly somebody who's very, very well versed in, with at least with respect to one of the organisms that this panel's going to be considering. So we have one, count them, one bee scientist on our panel. We have one retired civil servant who is not, as best I can tell, an expert in anything to do with bees. He is an expert in running government departments and things. So he is the convener of the panel. And we have, as our third member, a lady who is an expert in the well-known science of risk analysis. And Matt was most insistent that there should be somebody who is a specialist in the field of risk analysis on this panel. And the cynical among us, and boy, have I become a lot more cynical over the last 3 years. The cynical among us are concerned, obviously, that her presence is designed perhaps to temper the concerns that that our well-regarded bee scientist might raise, and to perhaps translate those scientific concerns into something that might be regarded as a little bit more palatable for the government when it comes to implement the panel's recommendations. So anyway, so that's our panel. Retired civil servant, risk analysis specialist, but one very good bee-type bee scientist. Now, the panel, first of all, in December of last year, just right before Christmas, Matt sent its material to this panel. It was a box full of 2,500 pages of material. It was hopelessly unfocused. It was pretty much like the box of stuff I received when I first was instructed in 2006, and not much help I had to say to the poor old panel in making its response. So early in the new year, Mark and I set to work to prepare our response. And our responses consisted of three volumes, three pretty coloured volumes of material. And it also includes two new scientific papers, which Mark has written, answer in direct and expert terms the particular assertions that Matt has made with respect to each of the four organisms under consideration, and is in effect a very critical peer review of the work that Matt's done, and also a long submission paper from me in which I tried to draw everything together and to relate the evidence back to the terms of reference and to suggest to the committee what the evidence supported in terms of the questions that had been asked to address. Now, our papers were all lodged with the panel at the very beginning of February, and I was really, really hoping that today I would be able to share with you what the outcome of the process was. The panel was due to report by the 1st of May, and when I got this invitation, I thought that was great because I'd be able to go through it with you and tell you the answer. Unfortunately, right at the end of April, the panel wrote to Matt asking for an extension of time to complete its work. The extension that it has asked for is to the end of this month, so we've probably only now got a couple more weeks to wait before we get the panel's report. One good thing, though, the legislation speaks of the panel merely providing recommendations to the chief executive at NAF, and that, of course, all of this remained the chief executive's call. And I thought, hello, they're keeping the wiggle room, and may yet decide, no matter what the panel says, that they're going to allow this stuff to come in, regardless of any concerns that are raised. But I did hear on the radio about 2 weeks ago a senior math official just talking about this process, and he actually said we will abide by what the panel says. Now, whether that is actually going to survive the receipt of a report that doesn't agree with them, and whether they really will be able to front up to the Australian government and say, look, sorry guys, after all this, we're not going to let your honey in at all, is something that remains to be seen. But that is where we have reached. We are now eagerly and anxiously awaiting the report of this panel. To this day, the ban on the importation of Australian beef products remains, and let's just all hope that after this panel reports, in a couple of weeks' time, that situation continues into the indefinite future.
Questions?
Who's driving the importation of honey? Because as I talked to one Australian beekeeper, we start driving loony even thinking about it.
I know. Well, who's driving it? There does seem to be some demand from within the Australian industry, but more importantly, the demand has been from the Australian government. In fact, I read Australian Senate papers going way back into the 90s, in which the Senate committees were expressing their frustration at what they regarded as the totally unwarranted ban that New Zealand has put in place on Australian beef products. I think the government over there sees it as an insult as much as anything else, that we're not allowing this stuff in. There is always a strong rumour that there is crossover, negotiating crossover as between Australian honey and New Zealand apples.
But we produce good honey, they produce crap apples.
We produce good apples, but they won't let them in. That's the point. And, you know, one of the things that the New Zealand government says is we are a trading nation. We can't complain, for example, about Australia banning our apples when we have what they regard as a scientifically unjustified ban on Australian honey. Now, of course, our case has always been it's a very well-justified ban on Australian honey. So the science in support of our case is very strong. But there are, as you say, other agendas here. There has also been a very major change in attitude within MAF. MAF, right up until about 2002, really took seriously its job of protecting New Zealand's biosecurity. That was something that was a real driver for them. There has been a real noticeable change in attitude since then, to the point where, as I say, on exactly the same evidence, they were prepared to reach completely opposite conclusions about the safety of Australian beef products. So there's a strong free trade motivation, I think, that's occurring within MAP as well.
Is there any attitude from
that
for the change of government?
Absolutely not. Well, certainly none that's been conveyed to me. The thing is, National and Labor were in lockstep on this with the passage of the legislation. As I say, National talked sympathetic, but they didn't support us in the end.
What happened to that money that was
initially brought out? I don't know. There was, and just as a background to Brian's question, in 2006, as I was going through all of the papers, I was in the meantime on the phone to MAF and writing to them saying, are there any imports on the horizon? Because if there are, then we're going to have to take some action. And we were told, no, there's no honey, we haven't even got the standards in place for the importations. The work that needs to be done, the Australian hasn't been done. And lo and behold, right before Christmas 2006, a two-tonne shipment from Western Australia lands in New Zealand, and MAF gave it a biosecurity clearance. And it was within 3 days of that we got the interim orders to stop eating more. It was Western Australian honey, so the risks associated with it were comparatively small, given that they continue, at least as far as my nose, to be free of the original childhood, but I have no idea what happened to that actual one.
Okay.
Thank you.
One
question, Jane.
Yeah, just one final question. Before I ask, thanks, David, for your work that you've done on
the Beef Association of Perth. But yeah, probably on my mind and probably a lot of the other executive and other people, what options have we got if we end up losing this review?
I must say, Jane, not very many. We will obviously have to look very closely at the panel's report and see whether it has left us with any grounds to continue fighting. The problem is, though, the import health standard that this whole thing rested on has effectively now been enshrined by an Act of Parliament. I mean, they passed a law in Parliament which specifically referred to that import health standard and said it is deemed to be valid and it is deemed to always have been valid, even though the court struck it down. So, and with this one little rider, which is that importations have to be halted while we wait for the independent panel to report. Now, if MAF gets a report that suits it and immediately announces the commencement of importations, unless there is something surprising or unusual in there, I really don't know that we will have any more options, because it'll be coming in effectively pursuant to an Act of Parliament, and there aren't, and you know, the courts don't mess with those, they have to respect them. So, sadly, in answer to your question, we really are very much in the hands of this panel. It seems that basically what it decides will go.
Thanks, Mitch.